Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Automotive Industry Ethics here at Car Talk Plus. And I'll admit, this is a very small division here, but hey, we have to have one, right?
Beep, 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 beep. Automotive news, BMW course stresses ethics. Mandatory training effort debuts at U.S. dealerships, Reno, Nevada. BMW of North America, Inc. has this fall made ethical training mandatory for key dealership employees.
Yeah, I got it.
This is very nice. They realize that ethics is important and that probably, or possibly, there are some people in the automotive industry who don't really understand the meaning of ethics.
Maybe.
So here is one of the little exercises that they do. They present the seminar participants with the following. Here is a hypothetical situation.
Here I'm ready. I got my pen in hand.
A retail customer phones the dealership asking the price of a CD player for a 1996 328i.
Got it.
The parts counter person looks it up and says $875, which the customer finds acceptable. When the customer comes to pick it up, the parts counter person checks the price again and realizes, you ready for this?
Yeah.
That the retail price is actually not $875, but $775. This now presents an ethical dilemma. They want to know, what should the parts counter person do? I mean, the very fact that they think that this represents an ethical dilemma lets you know where we're starting from here in the automotive industry.
It's pretty sad, isn't it?
Cool.
Well, I mean, I know the answer.
I mean,
I know how it should come out.
I mean, it would never occur to them to say, well, I made a mistake. It's only $775. That answer isn't even on the list. What is the answer?
Well, the answer is you look it up. You find out it's $775. You tell the customer you made a terrible mistake in your haste to give him a price over the phone, and it's really $975.
Oh, you
but
misread
it. Because you gave him a price over the phone, you'll stick to that and sell it to him for the $875.
I mean, as soon as Dougie showed this to me, it reminded me of the lawyer joke about the lawyer has a client, and they're discussing something at the end of the meeting. The lawyer says, well, that'll be $100, and the guy reaches in his pocket and hands the lawyer in cash a $100 bill.
Mm-hmm.
And the client leaves, and the lawyer realizes that there were actually $200 bills stuck together, and he is immediately presented with an ethical dilemma. Should he tell his partner? So this is what, well, I guess you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And this shows that they at least understand where to start. Maybe it's a little too high for them.
Maybe. But it's a humble beginning. If you have a mechanical or ethical question about your car or anything else,
Wow. Our
number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lacey.
Lacey.
I'm from Austin, Texas.
Austin, that's a nice place.
Have you ever owned a car? To you guys here because you talk funny.
We don't talk funny.
You all talk funny.
You all talk funny.
I don't know what y'all are talking about.
We might both talk funny, actually. Is it L-A-C-E-Y?
L-A-C-Y, like the adjective.
Lacey, like Lacey Curtains.
Like Lacey, Jay Dalton, Lacey Underalls. Yeah, I've heard them all.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We're with you.
What's up?
I have a 1991 Honda Accord. She has almost 190,000 miles on it, and parts of my engine are starting to try to jump out of the engine.
Really?
Specifically, the little spark plug boot things. Sometimes I go to start my car, and it won't start. And, you know, being the astute girl that I am, I look under my hood, and I notice that one of the spark plug boots has popped out of the engine.
Cool.
Now, why are my parts trying to leave? I'm worried. Is it time to abandon the car and buy a new one?
You don't have to abandon it. It's abandoning you.
Thank you.
This is like kind of jumping out by the side of the road.
This is organ rejection.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, here's what's happening, and lucky for you, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
No, it isn't a big deal. You can either take the really inexpensive route, or you can actually fix it.
Okay. Well, my brother wants you to. He wants you to glue the spark plug wires in. He wants you to go out and buy a
No, I would
what's that stuff?
Squeeze them. I would squeeze them with a pair of pliers.
Oh, I would do something better than that.
Okay.
I would tighten the spark plugs. The reason they're blowing off is this engine is a dual overhead cam engine, and the spark plugs sit in welds. If you when you pulled one of these wires out, or when one of them is blown off, you may have noticed that the spark plug is way down in the hole.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And when you put that spark plug wire in, the top part of it kind of pops into that hole and makes a tight seal.
Kind of like a suction cup.
Exactly. But if there's pressure in that hole caused by a loose spark plug, it will blow that wire right out.
Okay.
So what's wrong is that your spark plugs are loose. Or specifically, if it's blowing the same wire off all the time, one of your spark plugs is loose.
Is it blowing the same one off all the time?
Yes.
So you need to go to the repair shop, or maybe you can do it yourself if you have tools, and crank down on all the plugs.
Okay.
Tighten them right up, and the problem will go away.
How long has it been doing this, by the way?
For about a year. On and off. It's not something that happens every 2 days or anything, but... When my car won't start, I try to find the problem, and that's been the problem.
In which case, I don't believe my brother's analysis.
What? What?
Because if that spark plug had been loose for a year, about 6 months ago, it would have come flying through the hood.
Here's what we're going to do. Lacey, do nothing. Obviously, you haven't been concerned about this enough to do anything.
And we'll just wait until it blows.
Well, what scares me is that I don't want to... was that there was some kind of pressure building up in the engine, and my engine was about to blow up.
Well, we're hoping that that spark plug comes through the hood. And we want to have you back on Stump the Chumps.
Oh,
and the only way you can be back, the only way to obtain eligibility is to have something exciting like this happen.
You're going to get me a rental car in the process?
Of course.
Okay.
No, what you should do is, I bet you when you go out there with a spark plug wrench, whoever does it is going to say, oh, yeah, that was pretty loose.
Okay.
And it might not be loose enough to actually unscrew itself, but I think that that's what's, I feel in my heart. I feel strongly that that's what it is.
I hate to disagree.
I know you disagree.
But I beg to differ.
Is begging to differ one step below bogus? How many steps below bogus is that?
Beg to differ is a milder form of bogus. Bogus. It's milder. I simply beg to differ, and I think she's going to find out what she needs is a new set of spark plug wires.
Okay.
That's all?
But I would certainly tighten up the spark plugs, and if you find one loose, fine. But I'll bet you don't.
Okay.
See you, Lacey. Great to
talk to
you.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Barry from St. Louis.
Hi, Barry.
Hey, Barry. You're coming in loud and clear.
Well, St. Louis isn't that far away.
No, oh, yes, it is. It's days away from here by horse and wagon.
Well, it's a short commute for me by plane.
Indeed.
Oh. Yeah, so what's up?
Well, I'm having a problem. My car is stuck in the garage because the parking brake will not release. I've been driving it. It's a 1994 Mazda 626, and the other day I pulled into the garage, set the parking brake as usual, went in. When I came out the next morning and released the parking brake, the lever went down, but the parking brake didn't release.
Does this have disc brakes on all four wheels?
Yes, it does.
Have you tried to move the car?
Yes, I have. And those brakes are on there pretty tight. And I called the dealer, and they said, oh, no problem. Bring it in, and we'll fix it for you.
Right, sure.
The problem is getting into my garage is a fairly tight squeeze. It's off of a narrow alley, and I make a sharp turn into the garage, and I don't know how I'm going to get how a tow truck is going to get in there to...
I got it.
So...
I got it, man. Here's what you do.
Okay. I remove my garage.
No. You go down to the local auto parts store.
Okay.
And you buy two creepers.
Creepers.
You know what a creeper is?
No.
Well, whoa.
Wait a minute.
No.
Let me work on this.
No.
A creeper is in the old days before.
No, it's bad enough you get sued by all the companies that you berate.
Actually, there is a device sold for this very purpose.
Yeah, but
he's going to do it.
It's a creeper?
No, buy one creeper. Get underneath the car.
He's going to have two.
No, and you will see. If you have an assistant pull on the handbrake lever inside
the car. Oh, that's not going to be any fun. It's not going to be as much fun
here's
as I was.
Here's what this moron wants you to do. He wants you to jack up the car, put each of these back wheels, because it's a front-wheel drive car.
Right.
He wants you to put each of these back wheels on these chintzy wooden creepers. And when you let the car back down, you're going to crush the wood.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, you'll crush the wood. If you're not, these two wheels will now be
riding. They have little casters on
them. Casters of the creeper. At which point, you're going to try to back the car up, and you're going to crash into the side of your garage because you won't be able to steer the thing because the creepers are going to dictate.
No. I should also tell you that in order to get into the garage from the alley, there's a little hill. I mean, it's not.
Of course, there would have to be.
A hill is not is not the right word. It's like a, it's a slant upward for about 3 feet.
Oh, perfect.
How long has the car been parked without being moved?
About a week now.
About a week.
Yes.
My guess is that the mechanism on the calipers is stuck. I mean, you're certainly going to. Here's how you're going to get it to the dealership. You're going to get under there.
With a hammer.
With a hammer, exactly.
A hammer.
Yeah, a hammer. And you're going to see when your assistant pulls on the handbrake inside, you're going to see the cable and where it connects to the brake caliper in the back.
Okay.
And it connects to a lever. And you'll be able to see when someone pulls on the thing in which direction it moves to actuate the handbrake. And that lever must move in the opposite direction to deactivate the handbrake.
And you whack it in that direction with the hammer.
And you'll know you fixed it because you will then be able to push the car by hand.
Or it'll just roll on top of you as you're crawling out, lying out.
No, you're not even going to jack it up. You're just going to lie under there on your belly.
I see.
A sand hog. And then when you've gotten it freed up, you can drive it to the dealership and they'll fix it. I mean, you may need to have the calipers rebuilt. It doesn't sound like it's the cables or that everything just might be rusted. But I should tell you that if you can't affect a repair in this manner, you can drive the car. You can override the handbrake.
Here's what you do.
You'll drive it right out of there.
Instead of going to the auto parts store to buy the creepers, as I previously suggested, if you're going to follow my brother's next piece of advice, you go in the house and you get a bottle of extra virgin olive oil. And you put it right behind the rear tires. And then when you start to go,
it'll
slide on the olive oil.
There you go. Just put it on the bottom.
Yeah, so I'm greasing up the floor of my garage to
grease
get it out
of the floor of the
alley.
Garage and just slide the car right out.
Now, actually, I would be willing to bet you will get this freed up by banging on it with a hammer.
Yeah.
But if you don't get it freed up completely, you'll be able to at least drive it out of the garage enough to get the tow truck to come.
Right. I've backed it out a little bit, but there's a lot of resistance, but it skids along the ground.
Ah, that's all
right.
That's
what it's going to do, but that's what the olive oil is going to make easier. It's going to skid along the olive oil.
Well, I could put olive oil all the way from my house to the dealership and just push it all the way.
Well, maybe you'd like to set up a 50-gallon drum on the roof and you could
drip system, drip irrigation.
You could dribble it as you go. I like that, too.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Barry.
Well, thanks for the advice.
Don't mention it.
See you later.
To anybody, especially your lawyer.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amy from Cincinnati.
What's up?
I have an 86 Toyota Camry. I'm the second owner. It has 125,000 miles on it.
Yep.
Here's what happens. If I'm on the highway, or going above like 45 miles an hour, and I go to get on an exit ramp and like take my foot off the accelerator before I put on the brake, my car kind of has, I hear it gear down, and it kind of makes a low grumble.
Uh-huh, like blah.
Yeah, not quite that rough, though.
But at high speed, it's okay.
At high speed, it's okay, and it's okay if my foot is on the gas or on the brake.
Yeah.
But it's when it's coasting and it makes this grumble.
Okay, we have to talk terminology here.
Yeah.
The word grumble.
Well, it's like a rumble with a grr thrown in. Right? Grr.
It grrs first and then it rumbles.
Grumbles.
But it's subtle. I mean, would the average person riding as a passenger realize that your car is doing this? Or are you so finely tuned into your car that you notice it?
Well, I think if the windows were down and the radio wasn't blaring, someone else would hear it, yes.
Somebody else would hear it.
But you'd never hear this unless you're decelerating. You never hear it on acceleration.
Correct.
All right. Well, I have a theory about this.
Yeah?
I think you have some loose baffles in your muffler.
Exactly.
Okay? And the reason you don't hear it at high speed or on acceleration is it's merely being drowned out by all the myriad noises that are being made by this ancient Camry with 125,000 miles.
Exactly the reason why I took issue with the word grumble.
Oh,
because the grumble sound sort of connoted some kind of mechanical noise.
That was my concern.
Yeah, and I was going to try to come up with a term that would suggest exhaust noise, because that's exactly what it sounds like to me.
Yes,
it really
does. It
does
sound like loose baffles in the exhaust system. I'm encouraged by the fact that it only happens on deceleration. I mean, to be on the safe side, it's probably worth it to have a professional drive the car to assess the noise.
Yeah, but that never happens when the professional drives the car.
So it doesn't happen all the time, which is good, because it lends even more credence to the baffle theory.
Okay.
And I'm baffled by the whole thing myself.
Well, I'll go make sure that my mechanic is baffled with my exhaust system.
Cool. Thanks for calling, Amy.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Tommy, look, it's time to help you remember last week's puzzler.
Yeah. Was it the dimly lit Quonset hut? The inky shadows of the dimly lit? Is that it?
No, it wasn't. But here's a hint. Fill in the blank. Recently, you had an MRI, and the doctors found that the inside of your head was blank.
Let's see.
No, I hadn't gotten to the question yet. I was just stating that the inside of your head was blank. Here's the question.
Oh.
While they expected to find something in there, cartilage, cotton balls, cheese puffs, they found that your skull was completely blank.
Is that the question now, or is that another statement?
That's
of
the question.
Fact.
Your skull was what?
My skull was round.
No, close. Hollow.
Hollow.
The puzzle was about hollowed objects, and I'll be back with the whole story in just a minute.
The first new car my daddy ever owned was a 60 Pontiac Ventura, long and wide and full of chrome. Two-door hardtop coupe, push-button radio, Rochester carburetor. Man, that thing could go. Jet tail lights, rear-wheel drive, not too good in snow. Tell me something I don't already know. They don't make them like that anymore. Pontiacs no more.
And even though the National Zoo Pandas beg to have their radio shut down too whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's very challenging puzzler. You know, you can't have hard ones all the time because people get discouraged.
I don't even remember what it was.
Well, you'll remember in a minute. This was sent to me by a fellow named Ed Cash, and he writes, one of the ways that Allied agents in World War II used to get microfilm, for example.
Oh, this one.
One of the ways that Allied agents in World War II used to get microfilm, for example, past German guards, was to hide it in hollow coat buttons. Not the kind that you have on a shirt where the thread goes through, but the big ones with the loop on the back, like you'd have on a winter coat, you know?
Yeah.
And the top of the button screwed on and off like a jar lid. Well, anyway, this worked for a while, but somehow the Germans became aware of this trick and started giving a twist to the buttons on the coat of anyone who looked suspicious, to see if any of the buttons unscrewed. Anyway, when the Allies found out the trick had been discovered, the people in charge of preparing the clothing for undercover agents had to make a change.
The underclothing for cover agents? What did you say?
Preparing the clothing. The underclothing for cover agents, yeah. They had to make a change. They did make a change, and none of those hollow buttons was ever discovered again. What was the change?
Yeah.
They switched over to zippers. These buttons are a stupid idea. They switched over to zippers, and as you might expect, they couldn't discover the... No, that's not true.
No, that's not true.
What they did, I mean, there are a lot of things they could have done. They could have applied some adhesive, making them difficult to turn, or they could have
They
would have thought of that in the first place. But what they thought of was even better.
Yeah.
They made the threads...
Left-hand thread.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when the Germans twisted the buttons, they, in fact, didn't come off. They got tighter. And after they failed in a few attempts, they gave up on it because they just figured out they're not using
they're
that
not
trick
using
anymore.
It. Right.
They must have swallowed the microphone, so they cut them open. But anyway, they never found the microfilm. So who's our winner?
The winner is Gregory Sparr from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. And for having your answer selected at random from all the right answers that we got, you're going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, which is at cartalk.com. And with that gift certificate, you can get a copy of our CD, The Hatchback of Notre Dame, More Car Talk Classics, featuring the famous Morley Safer attempted defense of the Peugeot nameplate.
It was pretty lame, if you ask me.
Crouching tiger, my foot, Morley. Come on.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, slightly more challenging puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today. So stick around right now. If you have a question about your car or anything else, we're here to help. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Marcy from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Hi, Marcy. Marcy.
Marcy, yes, M-A-R-C-Y.
Hi, Marcy.
Silver Spring, Maryland.
Right.
What's
right.
up?
I have a 1996 Taurus sedan.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have the air conditioner on and I'm driving at 55 miles an hour or above, the car starts to woo.
Starts to woo.
That's right. What happens is there's a noise. It doesn't affect the air conditioning. It doesn't make it not work, and it doesn't do this when the heat's on. It just starts to go woo, woo, woo from under the hood.
Oh, it's not a continuous woo.
No,
it'll woo a little bit,
and then it'll stop. And I ask the dealer, and they have no idea, but it's real irritating.
Dealers love questions like this.
Okay.
They need some of that. Think about it. The guy just had a fight with his wife. The dog bit him on his way to work. Some guy cut him off. Another guy crashed into him. He gets
Six
to work.
Six customers are yelling at him.
They're all yelling at him. And you show up and say, my car is going woo, woo, woo. And what does he want to say?
I'll get lost.
I don't want to say it.
Lady, take your...
So, is there any rhythmic pattern to this woo-woo?
Not that I've discerned.
Does it sound, does it...
But it will stop when if you go down or to 50 or if you're driving around, in the city, it doesn't do it with the air conditioner on. You have to be 50 miles, yeah.
Okay, choose between sound A, woo, 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 and two. No. Two is woo, 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 woo.
One. Right.
Well, I think it's one of two things. Now, it won't do this if you drive with the heat on.
Right.
Or with the AC off and nothing on.
Right.
Right.
Only the AC has to be on.
And only at a 55 or above.
Yeah, I think you could have a faulty AC compressor clutch.
Yep.
Absolutely.
A faulty AC compressor
clutch. The clutch is what's designed... The air conditioner compressor has a pulley, which is driven by the one belt that this car has.
Uh-huh.
And it turns all the time. But you don't want the air conditioner turning all the time. So there's a clutch between the compressor and the pulley.
That the pulley can turn
freewheel,
and the compressor won't actually be engaged.
And then you turn the AC on, that magnetic clutch locks the pulley and the shaft of the compressor together. And now your engine is turning the compressor in addition to just the pulley. And it could be that clutch is faulty and slipping, and that's when you get the woo, woo, woo. And it would stand to reason it would do it at the highest speed.
Okay.
Because 55 or 60 or whatever
turning
is the high engine speed, and hence a high air conditioner compressor speed.
Okay.
Yeah, and in fact, the compressor clutch theory could be tested because it will do it when the car's not going 55, but when the engine is running at the speed it is running when you're going 55.
So you could ask
with the hood up.
Okay.
Someone could look.
In fact, you can duplicate this. Put the air conditioner on, sit in your driveway, and bring the engine RPM up to a couple of thousand RPM. I mean, don't floor it. Put the gas pedal about a third of the way to the floor.
Uh-huh.
With the AC on, and see if you can reproduce it. If you can.
And have a friend stand out there with the hood up, and he'll be able to say, ah, it's coming right from here.
Okay.
Just before his necktie gets caught in that belt.
Right. See you, Marcy.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you know what time it is now?
Time to release our long life synthetic Oktoberfest oil?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! A few years ago, the FCC notified us that our caller mortality rate was way above average. So as part of a plea bargain arrangement, once every couple of weeks, we invite a past caller back onto the show to follow up with him or her, as it were.
Yes, either on mechanical or estate planning issues, depending on the circumstances,
right.
Of course.
And today's contestant is Lisa from Washington. She called us a few weeks ago because one of the belts on her 87 Honda was screeching like the proverbial banshee.
Yes, a noisy belt. I mean, how could we, what, screw that up?
Well, let's find out.
No, nay. Nay, nay.
Meanwhile, I have the cutest neighbor ever, and I am embarrassed to get in my car and start it in the morning with him out there.
Oh,
this
Lisa.
Is an ideal opportunity
Lisa,
to meet him.
Lisa.
You jump out of the car and you say,
throw the hood
oh,
open,
my God, what's
and you
that?
Start crying. So in addition to the belt problem, we're on the hook for her love life, too, I guess.
It seems that way. Anyhow, it says here that we told her belt was either worn, loose, or not the right belt for her car.
Sounds good. Lisa, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Lisa, before you tell us about the wedding plans with Fabio next door, we have to come and Mirandize you. Is that okay?
That's
fine. All right, listen up. Lisa, is it true that you have not been offered any inducements or grants of immunity by the House Judiciary Committee
or the FCC
for a favorable response here today?
Yes, it's true.
All right, what happened?
Okay, so upon your advice, I decided that it had nothing to do with the pulley, which the first two guys told me.
Yeah.
And so I took it to Dave, the expensive mechanic, and sort of gave him your spiel about the belt and that kind of gave him the history, and he just sort of nodded and took my car and called me the next day and said, it's fine, and I picked it up, and no more squeak. He said it was the belt, and he tightened it, and life is good.
Holy cow!
And can we talk to Fabio? I know he's there with you.
Oh, you know, I know his name now.
You do know his name?
What is it?
His name is Kevin, but
yeah.
It's just been a comedy of errors. Things have gone completely downhill since we talked.
Well, maybe
about
we can help you. We did so wonderfully in the belt department.
What
you did
happened?
Do wonderfully. Well, I think I'm beyond help, though, with the neighbor because, and this is what happened.
Yeah.
You know, every time I would see him in the past, you know, it would be Saturday or Sunday morning. I have just gotten up. I'm going for a run. I have bedhead.
Yeah.
And he would say good morning, and I would sort of grumble a good morning and go
You'd
on
grunt,
my way.
Yeah.
So finally, it's in the morning. I'm going to work. I have a skirt on. I look cute.
Yeah.
I go out and I put something.
Did he have a skirt on?
No.
That could have done it, huh?
That would have definitely put things to a stop. But yeah. No, he didn't have a skirt on. I did.
Yeah.
And so I put something in the trunk and I shut the trunk and I burped. And it wasn't disgusting or anything, but it was audible. And immediately I hear this good morning. And I look up because I live on a hill and his house is above mine and he's out watering his lawn.
Yeah.
And I can't recover. So I just say good morning and get in my car. And to make matters worse, my housemate takes it upon himself to, like, bring this up in a conversation at another time. He, of course, never heard me burp, but now he knows I did, and so I just can't even look him in the face anymore.
Well, maybe, you know,
I don't think so. I don't think you have to worry about that. I mean, there are certain bodily functions which there's not much we can do about.
Especially at my brother's age. You wouldn't believe the kind of stuff he does. So if you don't act now, I mean, think of what it's going to be like in a few years.
No, I mean, has he changed his attitude toward you visibly?
Well, you know, the next morning I was going for a run, and
yeah.
I went past him, and I did get a funny look. But at this point, I didn't know that he had talked to my housemate, so... Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact that you have a male housemate might be a little deterrent to the guy.
Right, that might be an encumbrance.
Yeah, but my male housemate has a wife who also lives there.
Are you kidding me?
that even adds more to it. He thinks the little menage is going on there.
No.
What do you mean, no? How would he know? Does he have binoculars?
I think you have to, like, just start batting your eyelashes. I mean, it's an age-old trick. It works every time because men are very, very stupid. No.
If you show any interest in him whatsoever, and I think maybe explain the living circumstances, the living arrangement.
See, she doesn't have an opportunity to break the ice. All you can say is good morning, good morning, good morning. How many times can you say
good morning? Well, he's out there watering the flowers. Have you ever been curious about what kind of flowers he has?
Oh, that's a good thing.
Or why he's out there watering the
flowers? And why he's not going to work?
Right, maybe he's loaded.
He might be. His house is very nice.
Lisa, make your move.
That's the opening.
Well, and he probably is an avid listener of Car Talk, and I'm assumed for sure because I've been talking about him.
Sure.
Well, that's the thing you have to ascertain first. If he's been listening, then we'll just move on. Because he'll know how desperate you really are.
No, Lisa's not desperate.
Well, now that you've gotten the belt quieted down, you no longer are attracting his attention.
That's true. So I should maybe, I don't know.
Have him loosen the belt. Good luck, Lise.
Thank you.
Call us. Let us know what happens.
All right, I will.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Why wait? Call us and stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hey, guys, how are you? This is Mike from New Jersey.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing okay.
What's happening? Do you have dual registry?
Dual registry?
Yeah, doesn't everyone in New Jersey have dual registry?
I'm not sure what that means, actually.
No, never mind. No, weren't there ships
ships register in two different countries.
Yeah. Oh,
it's like a ship thing. Right?
Oh, so you register your car in New Jersey and in some other state where it's cheaper.
No, I guess I'm just not savvy enough to do that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, well, everyone in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah?
No. Never mind.
Don't start.
They live free or die. You know?
So what's going on, Mike?
I have a 1987 Nissan Stanza. And it's got well over 120,000 miles on it. And it drives great, except for one little thing. And that is, when I first start the car up, I can barely steer it for the first about minute that the car started. It's like the power steering isn't there, and I've almost hit a couple of things going out of my driveway. After about a minute, the steering seems to, you know, sort of come back, and it's a lot more controllable. But do you have any idea what that is?
Is it worse when the weather's cold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Although, you know, it used to be I only had the problem in the winter. Now, even in the summer when I started up, I have
to. Oh, wait till this winter comes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm gonna have to get that thing warmed up like half an hour before I get in it.
Well, in fact, it might be cheaper if you figure the cost of a new rack and pinion, which is going to be, I don't know, many hundreds of dollars.
Five.
Oh, more money.
Seven.
Yeah, it might be cheaper for you to just leave the car running all winter.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I think so. I mean,
makes sense to me.
But, yeah, I mean, how much do the gas cost?
It is dangerous, though. But it would be especially dangerous if someone else were driving a car. At least you now know that you should wait a minute before you actually try to steer it.
That's right.
But it is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It's almost a certainty that it's the rack and pinion. Although I will confess that I haven't seen any other Stanzas with this problem.
Uh-huh.
And of course, it could be the power steering pump. You should have your shop put a gauge on the pump and see if it's putting out enough pressure.
Okay.
And if it is, you're done for.
Yeah. It would be nice if it wasn't, because that's a heck of a lot cheaper than the rack and pinion.
So they can replace the power steering pump, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. But that won't fix it if that's not the problem.
Right.
You know, but you can put one in anyway. It never stopped us.
Now, if it's a rack and pinion, like, what does that mean? What's going on down there?
Well, it means that the thing is worn out, and that until it heats up and expands, that it can't hold the pressure from the pump.
I see.
So that's why you don't get any power steering effect.
Okay. Now, is that, after it warms up and it's driving okay, is that still dangerous?
Not really.
No. It's only dangerous those first few minutes.
Okay.
Because once it warms up, it will continue to work as long as it's warm.
But right. I suspect when the cold weather comes
that
it's not going to be a few minutes this year. It may be a half an hour this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe not at all. You might not be able to drive it, period.
It's
going to
get progressively worse.
There you go.
Yeah. So here's what I would do.
Yeah.
Check the pressure on the pump. And if it's bad, you replace the pump and your troubles are over.
Right.
Otherwise, you might be able to get a rack at a junkyard, but it's possible that it'll be just the same as this one.
Oh, no. Right. If you're going to do it, put a rebuilt one in there.
Right. How much does that cost?
I don't know. Many hundreds.
Yeah, it's many hundreds.
Probably more than the car is worth.
Less than $1,000.
Yeah.
Between $500 and $1,000. It's certainly more than the car is worth, but as we've pointed out many times, that should never be your criterion, because if it were, I would never be able to put gas in my Dart.
That's why he never quite fills the tank.
Yeah. $8 worth.
See you, Mike.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay, Tommy, what does it mean when the little hand is over there and the big hand is over here?
It means that NPR is too cheap to spring for digital clocks?
That's
perhaps?
Right. It's time to take a break.
We're going to be back in a minute.
Driving downtown in my 62 Falcon, gonna pick me up a movie star. She's my girlfriend's best friend, I never even met her, but I really don't like her so far. What makes her so special, except to cost all her money and fame? Driving downtown in my 62 Falcon, feeling kind of lame.
And even though Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz clicks her heels four times whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. Now, you may have noticed at the beginning of this Puzzler season, the paucity, the dearth, the downright non-existence of the automotive Puzzler. None of the Puzzlers has been automotive in nature.
Really? I hadn't noticed that, no.
Well, it's
but
true.
I believe you. I know you would never lie, nor would you obfuscate.
Not so sure I believe it either, but I don't think I've had an automotive Puzzler this year.
Oh.
So, the first automotive Puzzler of the
season. Of the automotive season.
This was submitted by Jeff Matthews of armymail.mil. He's in the Army.
.com. Oh, .gov.
No, .mil.
.mil.
Mm. Oh. Yeah, I can't read all the other stuff because then they'd be able to triangulate on it.
Yeah, okay.
Some years ago, he says, my significant other complained that her Honda Accord would occasionally commence bucking, snorting, and choking after a stop. Hmm. It would keep that up for a couple of minutes, then the problem would go away for a few weeks. I looked at the usual things, but since I was never there when it happened, then I didn't really care because it wasn't my car.
Right.
I added that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Jeff. Hope I didn't get in your trouble. I couldn't figure it out. Then one fall, he says, I was getting the old jalopy ready for the state safety inspection. So I jacked it up and jiggled the wheels and did all the kinds of things that you usually do. And when I let it down off the jack stands, a nearly empty can of brake fluid rolled out from under the front seat.
Mm.
I said, that's interesting. I went into the house and asked my wife one question. When she gave me the answer, I knew what was wrong with her car.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what was
the question?
The question. Now, if you
the
think
question
you know,
is, what was the question? That's I like that part of it alone.
Right.
That's good enough.
As is often the case, the statement of the Puzzler
is more important than anything.
Is much better than the answer. And if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or tape it to the handlebars of an elliptical rotary walker with articulating footbed pivots, bidirectional resistance, and German-engineered electromagnetic brakes, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Geraldine from St. Louis.
Geraldine.
Yes.
Geraldine.
And are you going to ask how I spell my name?
Yeah, of course.
Or are you going to guess?
Geraldine.
Close. Right. It's Jeryldine.
Jeez, I was close.
Jery?
Yes.
Geraldine.
Y-Y.
Oh, where did you get this wacko name?
It was my mother's creation, and I've spent the rest of my life
explaining it to
people.
Yeah.
And exactly. In therapy, I'm sure.
Well, it makes it worse that the rest of my siblings all have normal names like Karen and Barb, so.
What in the world came over her that day?
Well, you know,
I was the last one. I think I was her last chance at coming up with a creative name.
Being wacko, yeah. Is she a wacko ordinarily?
She's extremely wacky.
Oh. Extremely wacky, yeah.
And in fact, her name is Jackie, and people call her Wacky Jackie.
See that?
Funny that you asked.
How does she spell Jackie? J-A-Q-U-I?
There is a Q in there. It's J-A-C-Q-U...
I-E.
Or
U-Y.
Yeah. Something like that.
That's great.
And she probably felt repressed with all the other kids that she gave decent, ordinary names to. And I guess you should feel special.
That could be it.
But you're a reflection of her true personality, which is wackiness.
Right.
You know, probably means she loves you the most.
Just like my mother loves me the most.
Anyway, the bag. Geraldine.
Geraldine.
Geraldine, yes.
Where are you from?
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Pay attention, will you?
I was too busy trying to spell the name.
Right.
What's
got
up?
Thrown off. My problem is arachnids in my car.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and
I started
noticing
before.
Them about a month ago, and it's to the point now where I'm ready to sell the car. I don't know what to do. I don't know if they're inside the car.
You have arachnid and pinion steering?
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. Couldn't resist.
Couldn't resist.
It's a 92 Toyota Tercel,
doesn't
and it's
matter.
Blue. I find them on the roof. I find them on the windows. I find them on the dashboard. It's I've called everyone. I called an entomology professor. I called an exterminator. I called my dealer, and no one seems to have any.
I got the solution.
Yes?
Birds. Birds.
Yeah, buy a nice parakeet. A parrot.
My mom
nice
has
big parrot.
Wacky Jackie has a parrot.
She does, of course.
Oh, yeah, all whack cases have birds. I don't know why.
She has three.
Oh, yeah, and the wackier
you
are.
Borrow a
$2,000 for one of them.
That's oh, yeah, it. Borrow that one.
Well, do bats eat spiders? I'm
yes.
terrified of bats, but I actually thought maybe, I don't know. I
yes,
mean, it sounds funny, but I'm really seriously distressed by this. Have
well,
you heard of this problem before?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course. Bats do eat spiders. They don't. Bats only two things, eat spiders and suck blood.
Right. So hopefully I'll get the former instead of the latter.
Well, you might get both, but who knows?
So the idea is you put a couple of bats in the car overnight.
Right.
And then you can drive around during the day with the bats flying around inside the
no,
car.
No, they won't fly around. Bats sleep during the day.
Which I'm sure won't distract my driving.
No, that won't be distracting
bats
at all.
Bats are nocturnal, but the other possibility, and this
yeah.
is you need... You need...
I can hardly wait.
A lizard.
He's got...
I need a lizard.
You need a leaping lizard. I mean, lizards with
oh.
those long tongues.
Right.
Yeah, I think the lizard would be better.
Yeah.
Let's see now. So,
so
far in the car, we've got spiders, a parrot, bats...
Maybe some
and
fire
a crocodile.
Ants. Fire ants would be.
This is only a Tercel, you know. This is not
well,
a pickup truck.
True.
It's clear you have to get a bigger car if you're going to accommodate all these creatures.
This menagerie, you're gonna need a bigger car. Yeah.
At first, I thought it was just they were coming into my car from the trees on the street. And then someone thought I was just being naive and that they had actually built a whole nest in my car and that I was kidding myself.
They clearly are in the car. I don't know if
they
have.
Are?
Right. I mean, otherwise, everyone else in your neighborhood would have the same problem. No, you got when you bought the car, you
yes.
got the spiders.
Oh. It had spiders in it?
It had spiders in it. There were baby spiders. Maybe they were spider eggs.
You're kidding.
Or spiderettes.
Well, how come they only manifested themselves 3 years later?
Yeah, because my brother's nuts. That's why. You want to introduce him to your mother? What a pair.
Well, I don't know. I mean, who knows how they got in there? It's unimportant. Maybe some.
No, it's unimportant. The question is, how is she going to get them out?
How am I going to get them out?
What did the exterminator say? I mean, obviously.
The exterminator suggested that I explode a bug bomb in that car. And I was fully prepared to do that. And I went to buy one at the store, and there was a huge disclaimer that said, do not use this in less than 100 cubic feet.
No, first of all.
Which
they
I
put
assume
the...
my Tercel is less than that.
Make sure the $3,000 parakeet's in there when you do it.
No, first of all, they always put those disclaimers on there so that they don't get sued, number
right.
one. Number two, it's barely going to kill the spiders.
Really?
What are the chances that it's going to kill you? It's not going to get you for maybe 20 or 30 years. You know, I mean, the residual effects of this thing. So I wouldn't
right.
worry about it. I mean, there are people that use this stuff. Think of the poor people that make it.
Right.
Oh, nuke them, Geraldine. No, those chemicals aren't anywhere near as harmful. I mean, they put all that stuff on the label to scare you.
Okay.
No, let the professionals do it. I don't think it's worth playing around with that
Well, the
stuff.
Professional's not going to drive the car after. So you have no control over how much chemical the professional pulls in. Don't forget, he doesn't want to be called back if it fails.
Right.
So he's not going to do one bomb. He's going to do six.
Right.
What does he care what happens afterwards? You do it. You put one bomb in.
Okay.
Don't let any more on professional. Stay away from professionals whenever possible.
I just wanted to be known. It was my brother Ray who made this recommendation, not I. Tom. So when the lawyers
call... She won't get the brain lesions for at least 20 years, so you'll be long gone by then. See you, Geraldine.
Good luck, Geraldine.
Thank you.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Glenn, and I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, Glenn.
With two N's?
With one N.
Sure.
Of course.
I have a friend, Glenn, with two N's.
Do you?
I do.
That's a stupid way to spell it.
You think so?
Two N's? What do you need the second one for? It's a waste of an N.
You think so?
Of course it's a waste of an N.
But this
how do you pronounce two N's versus one? Doesn't matter, right?
Well, I know, but this, you wouldn't confuse
it's an affectation.
You wouldn't confuse him with a grassy area. I mean, the guy Glenn we're talking to now could be confused with a, you know, I could see a, you know, what is it, Glenn? Okay, where are you from again? Brooklyn?
Brooklyn.
What's up?
Even though I'm in the bicycle business, I need to get a car.
Oh, and, that's a shame,
yeah.
Isn't it?
And my ex-girlfriend, Fluffy, had a...
Fluffy, huh?
Yeah. And
get out.
She had a VW Cabrio convertible, and
was she an exotic dancer?
No, but she's engaged to be married to a guy named Thor. I swear, so figure that one out.
I can just see it now. Mr. and Mrs. James Smith request the presence of...
for their marriage of their daughter, Fluffy.
to a comic strip
to
character.
To Thor Heyerdahl.
Well, this is why I need my own car now, because hers is now occupied.
Yeah.
And I really want a VW Cabrio convertible for the two nice days of the year when you can put the top down.
Yeah.
And my friend has this idea, which is either brilliant or insane, and I need your advice.
Well, given... Never mind. Go ahead.
Well, he's saying that the way to do this on the cheap, and that's how I'm trying to do it,
he
says, keep your eyes open for a car in somebody's yard with a blown engine.
A Cabrio.
Right. And then pay somebody $2,000 or thereabouts to put in a brand new engine, and there you've got a brand, you know, pretty good car for cheap. Is this brilliant or awful?
Well, it's he's on the right track.
Yeah, I would say he is on, well, I don't know if it's the right track.
But don't forget, I mean, he's not a genius. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's in the bike business, too, so you know that's trouble.
So if he's not a genius and he came up with this idea, the person who owned the Cabrio wouldn't have it sitting in his backyard if he knew that for $2,000 he could have a brand-new wonderful car.
Well, that's a good point.
Well, not necessarily. There are lots of people who just plain give up on a car because... Even though it may need just an engine, the idea of...
An engine. Wow.
An engine is a big deal.
You ain't
and
kidding.
And finding someone that can do it and can do it right, that's not going to cheat you, that's going to put all the parts in, that you don't have to fight with if something goes wrong, can be so daunting that the best choice is just let the thing sit there.
And let the trees grow around it.
Yeah, and eventually the car will get subsumed by the surrounding vegetation.
And it'll disappear.
Yeah, and you say, what? Car? There's no car here.
No, but your friend's idea is perfectly has merit. Yes, of course. If you can find one, you can put an engine in it and have a pretty good car. Assuming, I mean, it'll have the same car if it was a piece of junk to begin with, except for the engine, it'll still be a piece of junk with an engine.
And we'd recommend a used engine.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. I mean, you're only going to use it, what, 2 days a year?
Well, question B is, if the car has been sitting for a while, do parts on the car just wear out from it sitting, like rubber things? I mean, if it's just been sitting for a year or two, could it be in bad shape just from not moving?
Well, rubber things don't wear out, but other things happen. Brake calipers seize, disc rotors, drums rust. Things like that happen.
But you don't care what happened to the engine because you're going to throw that away anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, the engine's probably, well.
And most of the other things are fixable.
And I think you're still cheaper than buying a new one, that's for sure.
Well, anything's cheaper than buying a new one, almost.
Oh, you don't mean a brand new one, but you mean...
Even a new used one, yeah.
A new used, a real car.
Right, a real car. I'm trying to avoid, because I can be spending
already...
that money on bicycles.
Yeah.
So you have lots of free time.
That's what I'm afraid of, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good. Time is money. And if you have free time, you might as well use it trying to find a car.
Where do I look?
In
backyards.
Backyards.
There you go.
Your friend told you that.
Oh, here's what you need. Glenn, I got it. The Christmas season is approaching, and as always is the case, the U.S. Postal Service needs extra people to deliver Christmas mail.
Oh, man, what a brilliant idea.
This will give you an opportunity to snoop around.
It's slow in the bicycle business now anyway.
Oh, yeah, bicycle business is not booming this time of year.
Right.
So you need to get a job working for either the U.S. Postal Service or UPS. You drop off the package. You say, would you like me to deliver it to the back door?
Yeah.
By the way, you don't have a Cabrio in your backyard. This is right up your alley, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need an excuse to go into people's yards, and the uniform will give you the authority to do that.
Yeah. But you could let your fingers do the walking and get something like the Want Advertiser. Or what's the other one, the trader thing?
Yeah, Auto Trader.
Auto Trader.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they'll have a section on junkers.
There you go.
And that's a lot better than walking around looking in people's backyards, because the chances of you doing that are...
And you'll get bitten by someone's Rottweiler.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, and are you going to Fluffy's wedding or what?
I have not been invited just yet.
Fluffy and Thor.
Oh man,
boy, I can see those books of matches now. See you, Glenn.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye now.
Fluffy and Thor.
I'm sure they're two perfectly wonderful people. And
Mrs. Throckmorton IV.
Well,
invite you to the wedding of their daughter, Fluffy. It's a good name.
Well, look, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Guadalupe Chicken Soup, Triple Scoop, Buffet Soup, and Stomach Droop, is John Bugsy Lawler.
What a guy, huh?
Our public opinion
what a guy
is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our rocket scientist is Chet Propelled. Our overnight bus driver is Borden Drowsy. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our PR director is B. Esser. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz. And they have a dog, too, Toto Payne Diaz. And, of course, the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the foliage chasers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tabbert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
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 We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1340, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, want more Car Talk?
You know, I always wonder what 4 million people shouting no would sound like. Anyway, for the few of you that are still undecided, you can always read our Dear Tom and Ray blog over at cartalk.com. We take whatever car questions people throw our way, except the ones that we don't know the answers to, which my brother, of course, accidentally deletes. Check out our Dear Tom and Ray blog right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though space aliens add us to their list of humanoids not to abduct whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.